Before I start, I this morning as we were in prayer, but as we were in the service, I just got a picture, and how many know that this world is crazy? If you don't know that, maybe you're crazy. With all due respect. But this world is crazy. There's so many things that are going around. And I believe that over the last 5 years that we as a church, as a body, especially in North America, we went from being very complacent to be in survival mode. What I mean by that, you know, when somebody's out in the cold, hypothermia or just in, in very cold places, and they maybe fall, or they just can't get warm in different things, the body reacts by trying to salvage or trying to protect the most vital organs. And that also happens even in when a hunger and starvation, the body reacts by trying to just to protect the most vital things. And I believe that we in the body of Christ, we have been in survival mode. We've been trying to protect our hearts from all the stuff that's coming against us. But all the things that have been put on us, or just all the judgment, all the marginalization, it's like, oh, we've been on defensive. But what happens in the picture I got was that so many of us have been in survival mode, and that's become a way of life. And how many know that when you're in survival mode, your heart is beating, but it's beating and it protects. And it keeps you isolated or keeps you away from danger. But we are not made to be in survival mode. And I believe that God is wanting to take us from survival mode into thrival mode. Even though that's not really a word, so we have to go to another one, which seems how it should be. You should go from survival mode to revival mode. Come on, and see, revival has to do with restoration. Restoration is actually being brought back to not just how it was before, but better than before. When something is restored, a car or just it's some of the parts aren't even available anymore, and some of the parts you don't even want. You want the new car play for the 63 whatever. I want you to know this, that God is taking us from survival mode to revival mode. And we must make that shift, because when we get into revival mode, our hearts begins to pump. The blood of Jesus cleanses, he cleans, flushes out our system. And but this is what I love. And then as his heart beats, our heart beats along with it. And instead of just surviving, it begins to pump through the extremities of the body of Christ. How long has it been that some of y'all had led somebody to Jesus? I mean, just so you know, my goal today is not to heap condemnation on you and tell you all the things that you should be doing and all that kind of stuff. That is not my goal. Because how many know we all feel guilty in some way for not doing enough, maybe not praying enough, not reading our Bible, and certainly, man, Lord, I need some boldness to stand in this crazy world. That's not my goal. Because there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, believers are no longer under the judgment that sin brings. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So our goal is not to heap condemnation on you and guilt, but that you would respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life and see God move powerfully. Come on. Come on. So today, you know, I'm telling you, this happened, I guess need to share something that happened to me recently. While I was in South Dakota, we were ministering, we're going to do a youth camp, and we got there a little bit early. We're at the hotel, and I'm there. I got up early so I can finish my sermon prep, And so I get up at 6 a.m. I go down to the lobby, and then I see this man with a cold compress on his ankle. And I'm like, I guess I should pray for him. So I go in and approach him, and I said, "What's happened to your leg? Can I pray for you?" And so he's a 66-year-old man. And I prayed for him, and we started a conversation. And I was only supposed to talk to him for about a couple minutes so I could finish my sermon prep, which is the most important thing, right? So I prayed for him. Then we started for about 2 hours. Found out at the age of 61, he found his biological dad for the first time. 61 years without a father. He started in 1992. By 1995, the trail went dead. And so then he tried 23andMe.com, where you look for your ancestors and stuff like that. And he came back inconclusively. And so about a few years back, about 5 years back, he just decided to try Ancestry.com. And then his biological dad's daughter just gave him a gift of Ancestry.com. Within 3 months, they found 99.95%. match. And so for the first time in 61 years, he knew who his dad is. That was 5 years ago. So I'm sitting there, and I'm asking, "Do you have faith?" And he goes, "You know what, there's somebody up there that, because I mean, the only way that we could have got together with my dad would have been him." So God revealed himself and said, "Hey, I'm up here, I exist." But I said, "Wouldn't you like to know who that is?" And she's like, "I guess." So I shared with him about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And when I finished sharing about the lost son, who was far away, and he was at the end of himself, he got himself into a lot of trouble and a lot of things, and he didn't even feel worthy to come home. And at the moment that he decided to come home, the father ran to him, embraced him. And so that which was lost is now found. And I said, and I said, "That's how much God loves you." And he just looked and said, "Wow." I said, "So you found your biological dad. Would you like to meet your heavenly father?" Right there in the lobby in South Dakota. It's not a lot of people in South Dakota. But that older gentleman came to know his father, Heavenly Father, for the first time. Come on. I say that to say this, that we could be ones that come here, "Hey, you know what? You need to reach your people, the people around you. You need to talk to people, find Jesus." You know what? Yes, I pray. I know there's different ones of you that being that's convicted, or you just have there's different people that are already on your mind, and you're just praying for them, and you want to reach out to them, but you don't know how. You feel inadequate. You feel like you don't have it all, and thank God that he didn't leave us to our own devices and our own strengths, where we can measure up the task based on us, because without him, we can do, but with him, so we can do all things through whom? And I'm telling you, this is the beautiful thing about Jesus, is that even as he went away, he said, "I will not leave you helpless. I will not leave you without power. I will not leave you to your own devices." And this is a statement. So many people are going like, "Man, this is not the way church was in the early church. I don't know if I espouse the way church is." I'm not saying it's any of you. I know some of you thinking, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is not the way we thought it should be, and we want to see things like it happened back in the early church. Did you know that the early church didn't even know what they were doing? They were a model, a quote. It was a progressive model being built right on the time, in real time. It wasn't like, "Oh, you know what? We know exactly what we need to do." No, they didn't. It was when the Holy Spirit came, it exploded something in people who were once scared of their own shadows. It was regular people. They were fishermen. They were not scholars. They were not they were not professors. They didn't have all the theology down. When the Holy Spirit came in, it caused them, it did something in them, and it activated something. And so this is the thing that I want to just share today, is that I'm not just only trying to get you to, quote, evangelize. Because I tell you what, evangelism is so easy and simple. Everybody loves it. Let's go on the street right now and do it. Follow me. You ready? Oh, do you feel that confidence coming on you? No. It's something that happened when before Peter preached, he rejected Jesus. He ran from anyone even putting him close to Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit came, full of the Holy Spirit, he addressed the crowd with such boldness. This is the statement. If we will never really be able to truly walk in the power and evangelize our world if we don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to speak on the Spirit-empowered life. And I will talk more about this tonight, but do you know evangelism is just entering into a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone. We don't need to go out there with all our tracks and put it on auto mode. Hope someone picks it up and gets saved. And you know what? Someone probably will, because the word of God does not return void. But why shoot that into a void and just trying to get it happen rather than hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, go reach out to that person. Invite that person over. You know what? Did you know that in the early church, one of the reasons why it spread so fast is because, yes, there was powerful preaching. Yes, there was miracles, but because of the hospitality of believers. They shared things in common. They invited each other over. And it says in 1 Peter, but the end of all things is near. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to do what? Show deep love for each other. For love covers the multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home. Come on. I'm saying it's right here in the Bible. Cheerfully. I mean, not grudging. I mean, come on in. Now, oh, my goodness. You got to be here. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Because God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve who? One another. The end of the world is near. Anybody feel that? Okay, I mean, any people that... I just felt like only one person felt that. Well, you know what? It's like this was written from a long time ago. So there was urgency from back then. And there sure is urgency right now. So, today I want to speak to you. Wow. On a Spirit-empowered life. Romans 8, 1 through 4 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus came and set us free, and he broke the power of death, giving us new life and giving us authority to live holy. Is that true? So if we go on to Romans 8, 5 and 8, 8, 5 to 8 says, and is your mind governed by the flesh or by the Spirit? Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, this is key. This is for today. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I'm just saying that in the body of Christ, we've begun to have these certain idols, things that we want to see happen or supposed to happen a certain way. Our minds are governed by the things of the flesh on religion, religious practices. Not to say that though some things of that are not good, but if it's taken away from the Spirit, the religious practices are dead. It brings no life. And so sometimes in church, and as believers, our minds can be saved by the Spirit of God, but our minds are not regenerated, and we think on things of the flesh, the things of this world, how many of us we got our phones, and even right now you're having withdrawals. You're just like, okay, I gotta sing. But it's like, I'll come and say, okay, I can't wait for a little breath. Let them breathe. Oh yeah, I didn't get any email. I'm just saying that those things fixate our minds on the things of this world. And then we think more on how bad this world is instead of how good God is and how powerful God is, instead of while we are thinking about how powerless we feel. Come on. Come on. This is for today. Right now, we are bombarded more than ever before with images, with temptations, with things that are streamed, piped in right into our soul because of our phones and media and stuff like that. And our eyes, sometimes where our minds are on the things of the flesh, more on the things of God. So you wonder why you feel depressed, oppressed, powerless? Because something in this world is telling you something that's different from what the Holy Spirit is doing and showing and being. There's so much more going on in this world that's happening. There's so many more people coming to Jesus. Like right now, I'm just saying, in light of even Charlie Kirk's death and what's happening in the political realm, something has been unleashed that so many people, young people, are coming to God by the droves. I'm talking, like, as I'm talking to people, I went to the mailbox to pick up some mail, and I picked up 3 souls instead. I'm telling you, I was trying to get out to pray, do my thing, hallelujah. I got to meet with the Lord. Yeah, I do. But then I finally get out at 7:30, and I've decided to pick up the mail case. So I go to the mailbox, and I see these 3 boys, these college-age kids. And I'm like, these little boys better not try to roll up on me. So I addressed them. I say, hi, how you doing? What you doing? And one of them said, well, we outside, enjoying outside. I'm like, whoa, that is powerful. Here they're doing drugs and doing different things there. And I just started saying, what is your purpose? And one said this. They said, well, I just want to, because he's an audio engineer. He goes, I just want to get in the studio and do some beats. I'm like, all right. The other one said, what's the greatest needs? And he said, well, I need a car and a basement suite, because he wanted a game without his parents bothering them. And the other one said this. They said, you know, I just want to be emotionally or just have emotionally strong so that I could be strong for myself. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's your greatest need, huh? I said, you need to up the ante on your need. What about a job? What about some joy, some peace? What about a family? Anything? They said, oh, I didn't know that was on the list. I'm like, so I said, what's your greatest purpose? What's your purpose? One said, I want to be emotionally strong for the people around me. And the other one said some of the same thing. The other one said, I just want to make some beats in my studio. And I just began to just share with them. that one thing that people don't have is peace. The thing that this generation is looking for is for peace, joy, purpose, and significance. And as I spoke to them, something broke over their lives. And I had a prophetic word for one, and it was just all of a sudden, and I asked, so do you, how many of you like some peace with God? He goes, man, I like some of that. You know what, that sounds pretty good to me. I said, it's about, that only comes through a relationship with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And then I just said, so who would like to be in a relationship with Jesus and make peace with God? And they said, me, I would. And I said, are you sure? I'm not forcing you. So are you ready? And they go, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if you're all ready. So are you ready? Yes, yes, tell us. Came to Jesus, all three of them. At verse 9, it says, in Romans 9, it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death, come on, because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him, come on, if the Spirit of Him, verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. As the time of dying ends and the time of living begins, to some it makes no sense, but here's the evidence. Everything that could have happened has happened, and you survived. You've been barren without and struggling, and now it's time to thrive. See, it's hard to start living when you've been living dead. It's time to adjust your thinking, get things right in your head. It's like you've been on life support, just waiting a flat line. You felt your eyes closing, but that was only nap time. You came close to losing faith, but you never crossed that line, and you only dreamed this day would come. Well, now is that time. I know you've been burnt, and just see ash and remains. Out of death comes life before joy, this pain. I know you've been in drought, but here comes the rain, because hope is being restored to your life again. You ask where and when? Well, here is where and now is when the time of dying ends and the time of living begins now. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, does the Spirit of God live in you? Yes. Some of you, I'm telling you, I believe that God is wanting to activate you and understand that it's by living the Spirit-empowered life that is the gateway to the... to everything that God has given us. Life without the Spirit is dull, dreary, and just hopeless. Where we say we believe in God, we like to just prop him up. Yeah, God, we know God is big. He's awesome. He does amazing things. Haven't seen a whole lot in the last few, but man, you better believe 30 years ago I saw him do something, and you know he's the same God yesterday and today and forever. I'm glad that God is the same, the yesterday, today, and forever. God is not the God of yesterday only. I want to see him do stuff today. Oh, and I want to have hope for him to do it for tomorrow. Come on. Y'all getting it, I think. See, the flesh brings death. The Spirit brings life. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I just want to say this to you and to the body of Christ, because I've seen it more and more, that we have the prodigals that are far away from God and far away from the church, but we also have the prodigals that are right in the church. That we've been so close to seeing to Jesus, or so close to the religious side of it, and we find comfort to being inside and out, away from them in the world. And we have our comfort zone, like, you know what, this is so cool to be here, where we don't have to deal with all of that. And then we know for a fact that all of that somehow makes its way into this. And we have professed the name of Jesus, but yet we are enamored by the world. We're chasing money. We're sleeping around. The Holy Spirit has been prompting us to do something for years into years and years. But we said, you know what? We're safe. We're here. Let's not rock the boat. I'm pretty comfortable. And this is the thing about it. I'm not here to let you see how passionate that we are. I'm not here to just so you can be a spectator. Look at him, he's a little bit passionate. Look at him. I wish I could turn the channel sometimes, but look, he's bowing. It's so good to see him. No, we are here so that you would be made uncomfortable. So that the apathy would be broken off. So that when you hear the voice of the Spirit, finally, that your heart isn't to pull away from it, but to connect with him and walk with him. Because the words that I speak to you, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. And so, how many would like to be, to live this, the spirit-empowered life? Verse 14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It's kind of funny. Those that do religious things over and over, they are the children of God. You see that in there? I'm trying to look for it. Not there. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. This is a statement that so many people feel like they are soldiers and servants of God, and they hang their hat on that. I will survive. I will go through anything. I will do anything to just serve God, my Savior. I'm a soldier and a servant. But do you know that a soldier and a servant doesn't have the same place in a household as a son or a daughter? And some of us have been burning ourselves out trying to serve when God is saying, I want to know you as a son, as a daughter. And it's only by the Spirit of God, because we can't work our way into God's graces. The grace of God comes by the power of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with him. The Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are his children, then we are his ears and ears of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I'm just saying to you that by the Spirit of God, he's speaking to our hearts. Our spirit, when we called out to him, his spirit ignited with our spirit, and we became a believer in the Most High. And we now, instead of being away and being prodigal, we have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all that is his become ours. All that he died for becomes ours. And I wanted to speak to you right now. There's some people here that your relationship with Jesus, or even what that means, is confused. Because you thought, if I do this, 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 and this, that I'd get a nice star and God would accept me. I want you to know that God has already accepted you by the blood of Jesus. The key into the kingdom is not what you do, but what you believe and how you live before him. So I'm telling you, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Because how many people are tired of toiling? Tired of trying to pray, read your Bible. I'm telling you, those are awesome things, but I'd rather do it because I'm saved, not so I can be saved. Oh, man. See, if we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit as divine and an important part of the Godhead to be obeyed, we will treat him as an object or force to satisfy our goals and ambitions. And when God begins to tell us something in the Word, or he begins to speak to us, we treat it as optional. Oh, you know what? I don't know if I feel like listening today. I don't know if I feel like I want to submit to Jesus today. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, come on, come on. Because instead of acknowledging, instead of acknowledging that when he speaks, when he moves and he nudges each day, he wants to use us as part of the kingdom, as part of his army, as part of his sons and daughters, to impact the people around us with his power, his love, and the gifts he has given each of us to use. So I know, it's like, some of y'all, I know this. This is not new to me. Why do you gotta be so passionate? Why you gotta be so wild? The reason why I'm passionate, because God reached down, he saved me, he healed me. Not only that, he filled me with his Holy Spirit at the age of 14 years old. You know why I'm just gonna tell you something about myself. You know why I got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you know why? I know God wanted me to. Yeah, that's good. Because my brother, my twin brother, got filled with the Holy Spirit the night before. And because he got filled with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't let my twin brother be filled with the Holy Spirit, not me. I mean, look at that. Isn't that, I mean, that is so, such a pure reason. But before that, I was the punk. I was the brat. I was the one that just, I don't know if you can tell, but I like messing with people. I get to do it for Jesus now. But I tell you what, I was, yeah. Yeah, let's not talk about how much I was. But you know what? But God took hold of me. And after that point, then I was called to the ministry. After that point, I got, God gave me my rapping gift in 1985. That was hard. Nobody wanted to hear rap in the church in 1985. But I surrendered to Jesus at that point. So how to live a spirit-filled life? First, you must surrender to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Ransom Life Ministries, our mission is to reach the lost, equip the found. Our goal is that we want to empower as many believers as possible to reach the world around them with the life-changing message of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that more people hear the good news, more souls are saved, more believers are discipled, and more disciples are sent. Why? So that more people hear the good news, and more souls are saved, more believers are discipled, and more believers are sent. I mean, what else is there? There's nothing like what I want to. I want to be in the third heaven, speaking the new language, so that people know how spiritual I am. Because I'm so spiritual because I have all these new keys. And you have all these keys, but there's nobody coming to Jesus. We've gotten off. Where it's like God is, he sent us to go into the world, preach the gospel, pay people be baptized, discipled. I mean, that is the core reason of us as believers. I'm sorry to remind you. The question is, what the heck have we been doing over the last few years? What is the most important thing to us? This world or him? Like I said, please take that with love and not with condemnation, please. So you surrender to Jesus. If you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. There's some of you that need to be baptized that haven't been baptized for a long time because it was optional. When Jesus said, go into all the earth, preach the gospel, baptize. How can an unbaptized people still want to be baptizing people? All right, okay. And the other thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, and you might even have to speak in tongues. Whew. Sorry, I didn't mean it how I said it. But being filled with belief, but I'm telling you what, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues, but your life is not submitted to Christ, and you're not living whole righteous, and you're not reaching out to others, then what's the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Some of us remember when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, and but we are not walking in the giftings and callings that God has given us. And you know why He's given us those gifts and callings? So that we would reach the world. Not like me, believe me. I don't expect everybody to be crazy like me. Because I have my own gifting, my own calling. But I tell you what, you're living a spirit-empowered life. It's going to affect every area of your life. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, you also cultivate a listening ear. Learn to hear His voice. And now this is where the fun happens or it doesn't. Are you, when you're willing to bend your will, your fear, your anxiety, your insecurity, your self-hatred, your self-deprecation of how good you're not, how you feel about yourself, if you would hear His voice, His words would be to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. It's not condemnation. It's not like, you're going to hell because you transgress. You know what? I mean, that's obviously not His word, His voice. Hopefully, I'm not speaking by the devil's voice. You know what I mean? But learn to hear His voice, and you will know there's always a way out. He's always saying there's a way out. When you listen to His voice, it's tender. Sometimes it's assertive, but it's not condemning and punitive. And so religion is punitive. It says you don't meet the mark, so you are nothing. You don't get passage because you are not perfect. Some of y'all perfectionists out here, oh man. Listen to the voice of the Spirit instead of the voice of the past. And there's also somebody in here that your marriage fell apart back in the day, wherever, I don't know, and that you felt that you were completely disqualified for use by the Savior. I'm speaking to you now. I pray that God activates you because there's restoration. There is also His love, and He's always restoring. He's never left somebody. Oh, now you did that one thing. Now you are out. You are excommunicated from the purposes of God. Somebody needs to hear about it. It's time. God, this powerful giftings that He's given you. And now as you serve Him, allow Him to work in your life, it's time to get back on the field. I don't know. I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to be like, oh, like I'm a pastor. I do all these things. But there's people in this world that needs to be pastored, reached on a practical level. I bet you can do that. And so, like I said, are you ready? What's the fun part about living a spirit-powered life? It only happens when we obey what He tells us to do. To go and pray for that person. And it will show up in every area of your life. Because the Spirit of God is not just so we can evangelize. It's not just so that we could disciple our pastor, but it shows up in everything we do. So I believe there's spirit-empowered hospitality. There's spirit-empowered meals that can bring people to heaven by to taste them. How many are gifted with an extraordinary gift of making people, mouths just, what's the word? Just water. You got it. I mean, look, humility is an accurate understanding of who you are. So don't go, I don't know. My little pie isn't all that good, even though everyone loves it. So who are you that bakes like crazy? Seriously, like people love it. Come on, raise your hand. I'm going to pick up each one of y'all. If y'all don't raise your hand, come on. Okay, if you know somebody and not raise your hand, point to them. It's like, you minister to me by the way you make that food. You minister to me the way that you sing, in the way that you do your photography, the way that you do your art, in the way that you speak to me, in the way you do your poetry. It's like, God, I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit ignites and empowers everything that we are specifically for the calling that He has on our life. Some of you think that you're beautiful because you got the lucky lottery ticket. Believe, I just want you to know all of you are beautiful. I want you that God made, He didn't make mistakes. But there are those that may have an extraordinary sense of beauty. And they have perverted it to bring praise to themselves when in actuality, because I know I married one of those ones. No, she doesn't want me to say this, but she's extremely beautiful on the inside and out. But even just who she is ministers to people that don't feel worthy. Because we don't get caught up in our giftings. We let the love of God be caught up in us and released wherever we go. So you that are smart, you that have all this intellect, you that love the bottom line, you do finance, accounting. Oh, man, wouldn't it be fun if it was spirit empowered too? Okay, yeah, it would. So it shows up in every area: spirit empowered ministry, spirit empowered evangelism, spirit empowered teaching, parenting. How many people need some spirit empowered parenting skills? Like, God, please tell. I know something's wrong, but I can't. I don't know. Please show me. I'm telling you, we've done that to our daughter, and just like, who told you that? We don't tell her. Who? Tell. Spirit-empowered generosity, your money, what you have in your bank account, if given over to the Spirit of God, instead of just being giving because of guilt, but give because God is saying you need to do that, because there's people here, you know God, that's a hard one, because God is saying, I want you to do this, but you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Well, that seems like that our mind is being governed by the flesh. We'll still leave there. Spirit-empowered service, spirit-empowered discipleship, spirit-empowered leadership. How many people need, how many people running some serious problems in different places, and that you need some real good, not only principles, but revelation to lead in your position, in your family? Anybody? I'm just saying, the spirit-empowered life, it's not just about speaking in tongues. It's not just about standing somewhere and just prophesying. It's about being able to be used at the time where God says, I want you to do this or that. That makes it so, aren't you glad that you don't have to be me? I mean, I know, wow, it's a lot of lack of excitement there. Aren't you glad that you get to be you? God made you the way you are for a reason, for his glory, that you are needed today in this time like never before. You people who are over 43 years old. Oh, man. You know, how many knew that there's a word for the people over? What about us that are 40 under? I don't know about you. No, just kidding. I say you that are getting older and you feel like things are waning, or you feel like, man, I had my best days before me. I just want you to say your best days are ahead of you. I want to say to you who are unashamedly frosted-haired saints, I see you. But there's some hiding underneath some color, but still. But I'm still speaking to you. You are needed in this time more than you could ever know. Don't let the enemy marginalize you and push you away and say that you're irrelevant. I'm telling you, God sees you. He hears you. He knows you. The reason being because young people, anybody under 43 years old? So some of y'all really happy. Y'all still young. I want to tell you this, young people, this generation, that this is about to be the most exciting time in the history for this generation. That all the stuff that we've been told, that you know what, that you may not amount to anything, that you are a lost cause, or I don't know what's going to happen with your generation, those things going over and over in your head, I want to tell you that today, that you are not, is this, before it was a postmodern, post-Christian culture, but you know that because of how Christianity and Jesus has been pushed out, there's many people that don't know Jesus at all. We have become a pre-Christian culture now. So when before we said, I don't know if anybody wants to hear about Jesus, I'm telling your friends, the people, they need to hear Jesus. And so I'm just saying to you that the spirit and power of life is for everyone. But I'm saying right now to you, I'm saying, Kiefer, what's up, brother? I'm just saying to you, man, you got a voice. You got a boldness. You're a free thinker. You think your own thoughts about stuff, right? And so it's what's so interesting about this. Not only do you think free thoughts, but I want to believe that God is going to begin to cause you to think his thoughts for this generation. I believe that it's like there's different things that you have, that you have made meandered. Meandered, that's an old word, isn't it? But you have kind of just been trying to find a pocket of your life. But you'll find it truthfully and with on foundation of Christ, and let that call that's on your life not be suppressed. It's like, I feel like sometimes it's like, you know that, you know there's more, but you're like, I don't know if I want to step into that. It's on you. Don't worry, it happened to me in front of a whole bunch of people too. But God's giving you a voice, a boldness, and when infused with his grace, his love, and his power, it will be effective as you submit to the Spirit, Holy Spirit in your life. Can you hear me? So can everybody else. And I say that because it's like, don't run away. It's like God's softening your heart so that you can hear him, because it's been too much noise. Tone down the noise so you can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Generation, there's too much noise. You guys and that's been gaming like your life away, and that has been your thing that you just pour out everything to, I believe that Jesus needs to be placed back in the throne of your life. There's some things that they need to let go of. I'm telling you, from the youngest to the oldest, we need to repent of our sin. And our sin is anything that we engage in that takes us away from the path that we need to be on. It's not just things that we do. The blood of Jesus covers that, and we repent of that, and he covers it. But the biggest sin is us walking away from the direction that God is calling us to go. And this morning, I just wanted to say that God, it's time to come back. It's time to reprioritize. Because what is about to happen in this country, in this world, is mind-blowing, but it will not come without its persecutions, without its hardship, without its decisions to make, to say, who will I serve, myself or him? The Holy Spirit speaks. Are we listening? I just want you to close your eyes first and foremost. I believe that Jesus, that some people are here and you may have never heard the gospel, that Jesus died for you. He knows every bit and part of your life, and that you've been looking for something to fill it that is real, that is truthful. Jesus came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. And if you have never given your heart to Jesus, and if you want the peace and the grace that only he can give for your life, if that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. And if that's you, I'm just saying to you, that you just raise your hand. God loves you. He sees you, and he has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter all the things that you've been into, but God, Jesus died precisely for you who couldn't save yourself. And so, and there's another group of people that I need to address as well. It's you who have been in the church around Christianity and religiosity, but you have not surrendered to Jesus. Your life is not surrendered to him. If that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Because we didn't come here just to have a nice service. But we are here to activate and help people find Jesus, but also to help those that are that God is calling into the game, into the field, that you would obey his voice instead of fighting his voice. So I'm saying that there are those that you know you're not only called to the ministry, you've been running away from your service to the body of Christ into this world. And you have chosen as an act of will. Your arms are too short to box with God. He will always keep on coming. He is relentless in his pursuit of you. He loves you so much that excuses do not count it, cut it. Remember, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that we need to submit to, not him submit to us. So, Father, so I just want to pray for those that have raised your hands. I want you, to, if you would be so kind and so courageous to stand. Come on. Let's do it. Come on. And those that know that you need to stand and you're standing in your seat, but you're sitting down, have the courage to stand. There's at least two more. It's one. Oh, come on. I want you to pray with me. Okay, there's another one and another one. Come on. I'm not doing this so that there's more people to count. I just know there's an all-out war in your life. You, when your heart is pattering and you know you need to respond, but yet something's holding you back. The devil does not want you to be free. So if that's you, one more time, come on, stand. Come on. Destinies are at stake today, old and young. And I'll let one other thing linger in the air. Those of you that need to be baptized and you're afraid or you're embarrassed to do it because you've been saved for a long time and you don't feel like you need to do all that stuff, it's like it's about humility and humbling yourself before him. It's time to be baptized. So I want you to pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I've heard your word, and it has pricked my heart. I know that I am not right with you. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me, Jesus. I ask you to come into my life and be Lord of my life. That I would turn away from evil and walk with you. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, I give my heart to you. I surrender to you. I ask that you would lead my life. In Jesus' name, amen.